Good morning. It is great to see you guys today. Today we're going to be talking about the role of prayer in fighting temptation. So my name is Alexander Nitschke. I am the wife of Pastor Stefan Nitschke. He's the college pastor here at Faith Church. And we have a lot of ladies in this room that are probably avid listeners to the Joyful Journey podcast. So you might recognize my voice from some of the earlier episodes. I helped Janet and Jocelyn start that podcast. I had to step away because my family just keeps growing, and so it just wasn't feasible for me anymore. I'm a stay-at-home mom of 6 kids. 5 of them are boys. So I also blog in my free time, which means I blog about once every 2 years. My blog is alexanderamnesty.com if you ever want to follow along. So I originally moved here about 15 years ago to check myself in as a resident of Vision of Hope. So I had struggled for over a decade with a very intense eating disorder. So I am very familiar with the gnarly struggle against sin and temptation. So as counselors, I assume that you frequently walk alongside women who are struggling against very challenging, very gripping temptations for sin. This could be women who are walking in repentance of a deep besetting sin, or women who are just suffering deeply and it's taking everything within them to walk in righteousness. So this message is for the woman who sees sin in her life, who sees potential for sin in her life, and who is gripping the cross for help. So the question we're asking today is, how do we help these women endure against the desires of the flesh? So I want to make a case for you today that in order for your counselees to be effective against temptations that they face, they must have a culture of desperate prayer in their lives. So me telling you I was at Vision of Hope, it should not surprise you, I have an addictive personality. So oftentimes when I study God's word, I get excited about certain topics. I do these what I call deep dives. And so there was one point in my life where I was just like, I want to study everything I can about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And that's just all I could consume for a little season of my life. So today I just want to share with you what I learned by doing these deep dives on Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and I want you to join me and let's study together on the most intense night of Jesus' earthly life. So I'd like us to start us off with prayer, and then we'll dive in. Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity to be together with women, sisters in Christ. Father, I pray that you would just hide me behind the cross, that your word would come to life right now, and that your Holy Spirit would be moving amongst women who are present today, women who are listening on the virtual track. Father, we just ask that I'm just a vessel, Lord, and I'm a very imperfect vessel at that. And so we just ask that you would just be doing the work today and that you would use our time in a way that glorifies you most. And I ask this all in your son's precious name. Amen. So we're going to walk through Matthew 26 together, verse by verse. And I have the passage that we're looking at, I have it printed out in your notes because I really want you to keep your eye on it throughout our time together today. And I'd like you to scribble notes as we go along. So let's read it entirely, and then we'll walk through it slowly, verse by verse, to best understand how Jesus was victorious over temptation. So at this point, I want to set the scene for you. Jesus and his disciples had just finished the Passover on Thursday night of Holy Week. Okay, so this is the night before the cross. All right, Matthew 26, starting in verse 30. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I'm raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter answered him, "Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." And all the disciples said the same. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and come watch with me." And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." And he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So, leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. My betrayer is at hand." While he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a great crowd with swords and clubs, from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Seize him." And he came up at once and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and he kissed him. And Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you came to do." Then they came up and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew out his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then should the scriptures be fulfilled that it must be so?" At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But all this has taken place that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples left him and fled. So let's just start right off the bat. What is the Mount of Olives? So we're going to start with verse 30. When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. So like I said earlier, this was around midnight on Thursday night in the last week of Jesus's life. Jesus had just finished the Passover meal with the 12 disciples. So after the meal, Judas had left to betray Jesus into the hands of the religious rulers who wanted to kill Jesus. And so here in verse 30, Jesus is with the 11 remaining disciples. The Mount of Olives was right outside the city of Jerusalem. So within the walls of the city, there was no room for people to have private gardens. Like you and I, if you don't live in an apartment, you live in a house, most of the time we have a yard. That was not the case back then. So the Mount of Olives consisted of gardens owned by wealthy families. So Jesus and his disciples were heading to a specific garden on the Mount of Olives, the Garden of Gethsemane. We don't know who owned the Garden of Gethsemane, but it was most likely a wealthy follower of Jesus who allowed him to use this garden at his discretion. So the word Gethsemane means oil press. When you harvest olives from olive trees, you press the olive to reveal the oil. So Jesus was heading to a place called oil press, located on the Mount of Olives. And we're going to come back to this at the end, but something I just want you to be thinking about now as we're going into this text is that Jesus was about to be crushed